Blog Talk Radio.
I'm your host from Insanity to Sane Radio. My name is Barbara Archer. I greet you this morning in the name of Jesus. Is that your prayer this morning that you're just hungry for God and you just want God to just come on in? If that's your prayer this morning, you're in the right place because God is here to meet you exactly where you at. This morning I have the privilege of having a very special guest in the studio with me this morning. He has a 100-page devotional guide, features modern takes on biblical women in each historical devotion for mothers, wives, sisters, lovers, and friends. And we're going to focus on different women of the Bible, such as Eve, Ruth, and some other women in the Bible as well, and how their stories impact our lives today. So my guest this morning, his name is Mr. Jeff Ashworth, but before we bring him on, I just want to open up the floor with prayer, as we always do. So, Father, we just come to you this morning. We just give you all the glory and praise and honor for this day that you have given us, Father. And we just thank you for just waking us up this morning and sending us on our way, God, because we're here, Father, that you still have purpose for us this day. And, Father, we just want to just yield everything, every gift, every talent, every ability that you have blessed us with, Father. We just give that back to you this morning, O Lord, and we just want you to just use us, Father, for your glory. And, Father, I pray everyone under the sound of my breath that may not know you as Lord and Savior, God, I pray this prayer this morning that they will come to know you, that they will experience you, God, like never before, that their eyes will be open to see the truth, Father. Father, because when we stand in your presence, that's when we see our imperfections. That's when we see, Father, that we need you, oh God. And, Father, I just pray a special blessing over my guest this morning, and I pray, Lord, that you will continue to bless him and continue to anoint his hands, oh Lord, as he continues to go forth in the vision and in the purpose that you have for his life, Father, that he will fulfill his destiny here on earth as it is in heaven. And, Father, we just give you all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor, for you're worthy of it. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. This morning I have Jeff Ashworth into the studio with me this morning. Thank you, Jeff, for tuning in this morning, and I appreciate you joining me this morning as we speak of women of the Bible.
Of course. Well, thank you, Barbara, so much for having me. So I'm excited to be here, and I'm excited to talk about biblical women.
So am I. You know, so we're just going to get right into it this morning, Jeff. Okay, what inspired you to write a book on women of the Bible? You know, and I've read so many different devotions out here. I've never read something so profound as your book. So just give us a little bit of background. What actually inspired you? Where did that inspiration come from?
I mean, for me personally, I was raised as a guy because that's how I was born. Listening to my sisters talk about the Bible and listening to them talk about devotional guides, you know, often stories from the Bible tend to focus, rather not stories, but the sermons tend to focus on male figures in the Bible for whatever reason. And often when women of the Bible are mentioned, at least when I was during my upbringing, they were mentioned I'm going to say in a negative way. They were always sort of presented as examples of what not to do. Eve is always an example of what not to do. Jezebel was always presented as an example of what not to do. Martha was always presented as an example of, you know, stop doing housework and listen to the word of the Lord. Like, Martha is a bad example. And I can, again, only speak from my personal experience, but I can imagine as a woman that that gets kind of boring. You get kind of tired of being told that women make horrible mistakes when, frankly, almost all the figures in the Bible make horrible mistakes. And they learn from them, or they don't continue to make them. But the truth is that so many figures in the Bible are human, and no matter their circumstances, they react in remarkably human ways. And so, for me personally, the stories that are presented in both the Old and New Testament serve as lessons today, because they're not just lessons in spirituality, they're lessons in humanity. And they can serve as touchstones for us in the modern world. We might not be in a situation like Lot's wife, for example, where we're asked to pack up everything we own and, you know, get out of Dodge because the city is about to collapse under God's wrath. Like, that might not ever happen to us. But I think there's still something to be said for hearing God's call and having him say to you, don't look back, let's move forward.
Right.
Don't dwell in the past. Let's go down this path and be led towards something wonderful that I can't wait to provide for you. And yet still be kind of tempted to live in, you know, with our head looking over our shoulder at where we might have been, at the mistakes we might have made, or at the glory we might have had in a past. You know, so I think that for me personally, trying to gather so many stories in one place of women, biblical women, and to try to kind of glean wherever we could a modern lesson from an ancient.
Right. You know, that is so true, because I know, and I thank you for sharing that, because so often when we do read the Bible, especially when we read about the women in the Bible, it can be a little bit discouraging for women in general, because it's so much focused, like we hear so much about the men in the Bible and great warriors, you know, that they were, you know, and how they conquered armies and they conquered their enemies and God delivered the enemies into their hands and all that, you know. And yes, we do hear about, even with David, we may, you know, that we hear about his life and what he did and so forth. But then we see all the good that what he's done. But we don't see that when it comes down to the women in the Bible, you know. So it gives us a little bit of hope as far as with today's modern woman, you know, how we can still be used by God no matter if we do make those mistakes. And in my devotions this morning, I was talking, you know, it was in my devotions about Lot and his wife as well, you know, that we just have to, you know, we can't look back and we just have to continue to just move forward and press forward. So now when you look at, now let's just talk about Ruth, an example. You know, Ruth is, you know, she's a woman that I've really enjoyed reading about her in the Bible and her story, because of it was like, you know, she knew she was a strong woman, you know, but how does that strength compare to us today as women? You know, what is it about her particular life that we as women today can focus on and get something from her life that we can take into our own lives?
I mean, the story of Ruth speaks to me as a story of friendship, and not just friendship, but women sticking it out together. I know that sounds strange, but at the time, in terms of the period where the story takes place, you know, women, Ruth needed to have the land they, because of their the deaths of the men in their lives, they had very little, and times were looking tough where they were, and basically they had a couple options, but the sort of it was for me one of those well, this is either going to go one way, we have to go down this path together, or we can go a different route. But for Naomi, she kind of had to stay where she was. So Ruth commits to Naomi and to say, wherever you go, I will go. For me, speaks to her commitment to promises that she had already made and her desire to move forward with someone that she, to kind of stick by her commitments, I guess, if that makes sense.
Right, yes, definitely, you know. So based upon your research, I mean, how long did you get into your research to bring forth this devotional? You know, as I was reading it, you know, it's very graphic as far as the women in the Bible and also, you know, just the text itself. I mean, it's very well written, and the photos and everything in the book is just phenomenal, you know. And what your research was like, I mean, how much research did you have to put in to write and bring forth such material that you have in this devotional that will help inspire just not just women but also men as well as they read as well? You know, I don't believe that your material can be just focused on women, but I believe that men can also get something from it as well. But how much research was put into bringing forth such a magnitude of material that you have in this book that you have come up with for devotion?
I mean, I would say that from a research standpoint, we spent a lot of time making sure that we had the right women, and that took a while. Not because the Bible isn't filled with women, but because the Bible is filled with a lot of different types of women, and we wanted to give a broad overview of stories. One of the places we started is with the genealogy of Jesus, listed in the Gospels. And they mention specific women by name amongst this long, long list of men. There are a handful of women that are called out by name. And just in terms of what the gospel writer is trying to do, you're sort of that, for me, as a storyteller, it's like, okay, well, there must be something in these women. There must be something specific that the gospel writer wanted us to know. He's trying to make some kind of connection between these women and what they did and who Jesus is. And it's probably not just to tie Jesus to King David. There's got to be more to it than that, because he could have mentioned these women based on the men that they were connected to, but instead he chooses to call them by name. So we looked at Bathsheba, we looked at Ruth, we looked at Rahab, you know, a hero during Joshua's time on earth.
Right.
We looked at Tamar, a very, very old story in Genesis, a woman who, you know, is just trying to live her life and be fulfilled with the promises that Judah had made to her, in terms of her husband's, but she has to dupe Judah on the side of the road. She's very crafty. You know, what does that tell us about Jesus, that there's this woman in his lineage who basically tricked her father-in-law into thinking that she was a prostitute?
Right.
What does it say about Jesus that there's a woman named Rahab who owned a brothel and allowed for Joshua's spies to sneak in there and hide out overnight? You know, and I'm not an expert. I can't say specifically from a a theological standpoint what that means, but to me it means Jesus was human. There were some incredible people in his lineage, and they did some incredible things. And specifically for women, in that time, it was not easy for women. And so the women who were called by name in that lineage show remarkable strength, show remarkable ingenuity, resolve, and are examples that the people of Jesus' day and really just beyond in the early days of Christianity would have recognized. There's stories that would have been told over and over to kind of reinforce the ways in which we can help ourselves. And in the case of Rahab, for example, the rewards that you receive for fighting with God's chosen people. For us, that was an interesting place to start, and we kind of spun out from there, and we tried to frame all of these stories into sections. There's stories about lovers and wives. There's stories about sisters, and there are plenty of stories about friends in the Bible, and we kind of tried to look at those relationships and break them down to their sort of core components, and then try to suss out what lesson there might be there.
Right. Because I did see, when I was reading it, I did see how it was broken down into different contents, mothers, wives, and lovers, sisters, and friends, and those women, they did show incredible strength in so many areas of their lives, and it was through all of that, that we got our Messiah, Jesus himself, so that is very profound. But when I look back over some of the material that I read in your devotional, I just want to just touch one or two things, if we may. And one of the things that I wanted to touch was that the women of those days, yes, they showed great strength, okay, but at the same time, we need to be able to see how does that back in those days apply to us today in 2015. Those women, they showed different strengths. They also had weaknesses as well, But how does that compare to women today in 2015 versus the women in the Bible today? How can we relate to those women, and still find our own identity within ourselves?
Well, I can say that I've never claimed to be an expert on anything, and I'm certainly wise enough to never claim to be an expert on women. But I can certainly say, just from my personal experience, that the women in the Bible were human. And so very much are we. I think the temptation is temptation, and it was the same then as it is today. The desire to do good but occasionally stumble or stumble a lot is not a new thing. It's old thing, as these stories can attest. So, for me, we make mistakes, and we can pray for forgiveness, we can pray for strength, we can strive to do our best every day, but we're going to stumble. And Jesus certainly knew that. He told his closest companions that they would make horrible, horrible mistakes, that he would forgive them. So there's certainly good news there. As it applies to women today, I think there's comfort in knowing that these women made mistakes and came out of it on the other side, many of them. And those who didn't, I think the Bible's sort of clear, they chose not to try to not make those mistakes. And I feel like for me, that's kind of the takeaway, is that it's a journey, it's a struggle, and God knows it's going to be that. And all he requires of you is that you try.
Right, yeah. And that is so true. You know, I mean, we all gonna, you know, we all fall short of the glory of God every day of our lives, you know. And thank God for forgiveness. Thank God for grace and mercy, you know. It gets us through, you know, and we can always go to God when we do fall short, you know, and he's always open to receive us back as his own. Always forgetting our sins, you know, and just giving us a fresh new start each and every day. So I thank him for that. But also with the biblical woman, I really want to talk about one particular character in the Bible, you know, because I think that of all the women in the Bible, I think she is the most profound, I would say. And that was Mary Magdalene. You know, I believe her is more, I think so many women can relate to her. I know I certainly can relate to her, you know, in my past life, you know. So I believe that I want to be able to just talk a little bit about her and her life and her story because it's so profound for today. And when we look at her life, you know, what is something that we can get from her as, you know, as a biblical character in the Bible for today that we're living as women, you know, what is it about her story that you wanted to add in your devotional? You know, was there any particular things that you wanted to be able to convey in your devotional?
One of the things that I think is interesting about Mary Magdalene is that over time, the figure of Mary Magdalene has evolved. From the Bible, what we know of her is that she is incredibly close with Jesus. She is very much involved with the ministry, and that she is one of the very first people, and in some gospel accounts, the first person, to see him risen again.
Yeah.
And imagine this incredible story that would have likely been met with incredulity, whether it's, you know, today, as Christians. Paul, in some of his letters, wrote, you know, we recognize what we're up against. We're basically telling people that Christ, this man who had an incredible message, rose from the dead. And we recognize that that is a hard pill to swallow for some of you. But frankly, we know that it happened. We have witness testimony. And so we wouldn't be telling you this incredible tale that makes us look foolish if it weren't true. So from Mary's standpoint, you know, she arrives at the tomb and finds no sign of the body that she had gone to prepare for death, and is instead met with incredible news that she then has to take to these disciples who are in hiding, and they don't believe her. And I think we can relate to that. I mean, they sort of admonish her for telling crazy stories.
Right.
And the fact that the telling of the good news that Christ was born again, or raised from the dead rather, is coming from the lips of a woman who, again, at the time, would not have had an opportunity to speak very often. So it's an interesting thing that I think speaks to the future of the Christian faith, where women are given more of a voice from that very moment moving forward. And I think that, for me, is one of the more interesting things, that she has to deliver this message to these men who are afraid and stubborn and don't believe her. I think that's a remarkable story. There's a sort of misnomer, I think, that kind of was perpetuated through history. Again, as men are wont to do, they painted Mary Magdalene as a seductive figure, or that she was a prostitute who then joined with Jesus. But that's not actually what most biblical historians believe about Mary Magdalene. They think she sort of gets conflated with the woman at the well, or she is often tied to the woman who Jesus saved from the stoning when he said, "Let ye who is out the sin cast the first stone." But that's generally considered by biblical historians to be a mistake, that she was not that woman. What Mary Magdalene was an incredible woman who believed with all of her heart in Jesus. And she followed him as a member of his inner circle, as a trusted member of his inner circle. And I think that there's a lesson there as well, which is don't believe everything you hear. Go and read for yourself in the Bible and learn for yourself what is there. Do your own research and kind of suss out for yourself what the Bible says. And don't be fooled by people who might be spinning some of the Bible's text to their own aims.
Right. Yes. You know, I mean, she was a woman of strength. You know, her story has always fascinated me throughout the Bible. You know, as I continue to read about her and studied it, because she was, I mean, she loved Jesus with all her heart. You know, she just wanted to be in his presence at all times. You know, and we could learn a lot from her just by being at the feet of Jesus himself each and every day of our lives, you know. But tell us a little bit about, now I do know that your publication will be available for purchase on newsstands through June the 17th. How can we get ourselves our own copy of this incredible page devotional guide to women of the Bible, Jeff?
I think the fastest way would probably be to use a website like Amazon.com, and you can search for Women of the Bible. It's a CBS Watch Collector's Edition. And if you don't find what you're looking for online, you can certainly try on newsstands. It's available for sale at all major retailers, Walmart, Target, Barnes & Noble, pretty much anywhere you might buy magazines. On the newsstand, you should be able to find it.
Okay. All right. Well, that is cool. Well, we're almost out of time, Jeff. Is there just one thing that you just want to leave with our listeners this morning before this interview is over?
I would say thank you. That's what I would leave with, is thank you so much for allowing me to come on your show and to talk about the work that we've done to bring the stories of these women to the forefront, and my hope is that if your listeners are able to find the issue, that they're able to get something meaningful out of it. We didn't approach this with frivolity. We really spent a lot of time making sure that as we consulted with both theologians and biblical experts, as well as historians and devotional leaders, that we were able to give a nice ecumenical overview of these stories while also kind of bringing them into the modern era and making sure that we can pass on some kind of nugget of truth to the casual reader. So hopefully we succeeded, and I hope that, wherever your listeners are in their lives, that they, if they do pick up the book, that they're able to get something positive out of it.
Yes, I know I did. It truly blessed me. Please get your copy today at local and international, local and national newsstands, wherever that you may shop at. Please get yourself a copy of Women of the Bible. You will be blessed. It has been a blessing to me, and I'm going to continue to finish reading it myself. I got more than halfway through. I still have a little bit more to do, but it has been a blessing to me. So be blessed. Just know that God loves you with an everlasting love. I will be back next Thursday morning at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thank you, Jeff, for your time this morning. I thoroughly appreciate you. And continue to do the work that God has called you to do, because I don't know, maybe it may be part two. Maybe you may be going in a different direction with your next devotional. You know, maybe well, Men of the Bible.
Men of the Bible.
Who knows? Right. You know, so who knows, you know. But definitely we look forward to it. So until then, God bless you. And from Insanity to Fame, we love you. Goodbye, everyone, and have a blessed day.